Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. With the things that are going on in the world today, you take a look at all the problems that we're having. It seems that everything we do as a government doesn't work, comes out wrong. And the president got up and said, well, if you don't vote for this and if we don't get this done, they're going to downgrade our credit. And the stock market's going to fall. So what happened after they approved it? Congratulated themselves and went out of town for a 5 weeks vacation. Don't disturb us. We're gone for 5 weeks. The stock market went down over 500 points in one day, a record. Then when the sun set on the West Coast, the Standard & Poor's downgraded U.S. debt from AAA to AA+. And so now the president is saying, well, it's their fault. They used the wrong information. Of course, it's never his fault. See, Congress tried to get a much better bill through, but the Republicans couldn't get it through because the president wanted to add $400 billion more in taxes. So now he comes out and says, well, the way we're going to solve this is we're going to extend the tax break that we've given all Americans on the payroll tax. So it's just like a flag in the wind. Whichever way the wind blows, that's how he's thinking. Then down in Texas today at the Houston Texans football stadium, Rick Perry is having a prayer and fasting get-together. Probably will be 100,000 people there. And we know it's all the Protestantism, and they're trying to do good. And I covered this morning on if they're sincere, God will hear an answer. If they're not, then we'll have to see what happens. So let's look at the thing concerning the Protestants. Let's come to Mark, the 9th chapter, because the Protestants use the name Jesus. They profess salvation through him. And yet, almost everything else is their own doctrine or their own tradition. Mark 9, let's pick it up here in verse 38. Now, let's analyze this as we go through. Then John answered him, saying, Master, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one does a work of power in my name can easily speak evil of me. The one who is not against you is for you. Okay. Does it say that they have salvation? No, it doesn't. So there are people out there who use the name of Jesus that don't have salvation. A lot of them think they do, but they don't. And so in trying to understand how we can develop church at home more to appeal to the Protestants, because I have another report that shows Protestantism is collapsing even faster than we understood when we wrote, Lord, what should I do? And we're sending out an awful lot of, Lord, what should I do? And I think it's beginning to have some effect. But there's a man back near Edmonds, Oklahoma, Todd Olson, who was baptized a little over a year ago. And he came out of growing up in a real, devoted, Protestant background. The Church of Christ. And so in coming out of it, he also checked out every single Church of God, compared doctrine and all of this sort of thing, compared teaching, and finally got in touch with us. Of course, we have our website with so many things on there. So I've talked to him occasionally through the year, and so I thought I would contact him. So I sent an email and I said, could you please help me, because maybe we need to have some kind of program ready so when a lot of these Protestant ministers find out that they're signing up for the Antichrist, they may start bailing. Maybe even the churches will. And I don't think that the leaders are going to leave without people coming with them. So we need to probably have a program worked up, a series of things worked up, so that we can help the minister understand the truth, be able to teach it to the people. Now, we don't want them necessarily joining us and becoming CBCG, but if we can help them come to God, we can furnish things for them and help them to understand the scriptures the way that they should be. Perhaps we need to have some kind of series of church at home or things like that in order to do that. So he sent me back a very nice answer, and I covered part of it while I was up north this morning. So the second part of this I'm going to cover, because there are going to be a lot of people who are not against Christ, but they don't have salvation and don't know it, and they're following a lot of false doctrines and don't realize it. And so the way that things are going, we don't know what's going to happen. And also, I commented on the Rick Perry fasting and prayer thing down there in Houston. And if it's in truth and they're sincere, God will hear them. How much God will answer, what will happen, that will just depend on the circumstances and what comes out. So we don't know, because we'll find out as the time goes by. So he wrote back the second time, and he said here concerning some key components, he said, "I agree with your observation that churchgoers whom I described above," that's the first part I covered this morning, "are at risk for accepting the Antichrist." And when I got here, Ken showed me an article how their scholars are revising their estimate as to who wrote the Old Testament by analyzing it with computers. Well, there were 40 different men who wrote the Bible, all told. If God inspires it, does it matter who wrote it? Now, Amos was a sheep herder. And he told the religious people, "Look, don't get mad at me. I'm just a sheep herder, and God said, go and tell them my message." See? Accepting the Antichrist, global government, and economy. Now, you see, we have a system today that has been developed that if you do not have a number, you cannot conduct business. The only thing short of being the mark of the beast is it's not on your right hand and it's not in your forehead. And as I mentioned before, in Salt Lake City, they want the whole city to become wave technology throughout the whole city. And that is this: you can have everything on your smartphone or on a credit card. And all you have to do to conduct business is wave it by the terminal, and bang, it's already taken care of. Remember that ad years ago? Here's this man coming into the store and stuffing everything in his coat and putting it in the shopping cart and looking around, you know, and he's stealing the store blind. And as he's going out, he thinks, "Oh, I got it made." And here comes the clerk and says, "Here's your receipt, Mr. Jones." Remember that one? Yeah. Okay. Well, they're having it that way. And that will be the last step before the mark of the beast. So question, think about this. Why don't they go after identity theft more harshly than they do? Because if they did, there would be no need for the mark of the beast. So this way, then, you know, you can't walk into the store with someone's cut-off hand and go, whoosh, you know, because it probably won't work without the bioelectrics of your body. So there will be a lot of people for accepting the Antichrist, global government, and economy, who is another factor in downgrading Christianity just this year. Harold Camping, big time. People are becoming disillusioned with Christianity in the world. And they don't know their Bibles. And the Bibles that they have so many mistakes in them, intentionally deleting things. And the NIV is reported to have 65,000 fewer words. Now, I'm going to have someone do an analysis of the Faithful Version and compare that with what the NIV and those others have. But there's a whole long list of the modern translations that are worthless. So it's setting people up for. Also, the way that the churches are structured in Protestantism and how they carry out their mission is also setting up people for accepting the Antichrist and world government and the mark of the beast. So Todd writes, first, I estimate that far fewer than 5% of the church-going population is prepared for a major economic disruption. Now, have you heard the sermons I've given, aftershock, you know, the day after the dollar crashes and all of that? Did we have kind of a dry run last week with the market going down 500 points? Well, the G7, they can't get together for a meeting, so they're going to have a phone conference tomorrow. What do we do to stabilize the markets on Monday morning? Because they lost $2 trillion in value last week. Now, if we have such a real breakdown, remember, all the stores have on-time inventory, which means this. You know what on-time inventory is? The supplies are delivered just in time so that the inventory is down. They don't have a supply on hand. Now, that's why I've said you need to prepare. We are going to go through the collapse of the dollar. The church is going to go on beyond that. And there isn't going to go anyone to a place of safety when that comes along. So don't depend on that false doctrine. And the false doctrine of the Protestants of a rapture is not going to happen because they think that when tough times come, the rapture is going to take place and we're out of here. So why prepare for anything? So we really are truly vulnerable. Society's dependence on banking, public energy service, and just-in-time inventory at the supermarket is almost universal. Any disruption causing prolonged suffering would make this population desperate for an answer, for relief, for their immediate suffering. Second, the purpose of mainline Christianity has evolved into the process of community building with the promise of heaven. And so I've got to do some church at home. Who's in heaven? Because no one's there. Okay. The church experience occurs only under the poorly defined idea of truth. Their version of the truth is not the whole word of God, every word of God, etc. Here's their version of it. Two primary purposes. Community building. And as I've been giving in the world's coming one world religion, there are millions of these community organizations everywhere, even here in Hollister. I went out of Knob Hill the other day, and here's a man taking donations for community cooperation services. And I just read it in the coming one world religion for the Universal Religion Initiative. Let's have cooperative circles, community circles. And guess who's a community organizer? Who's our president? Community building, the development of a social network. Everything is social. Friends, you get together. A place to belong. A means of dealing with death, dying, living, birth, marriage, finding personal purpose. This experience is guided by the tradition. Sunday, Christmas, Easter, Wednesday night Bible study, plus additional traditions unique to particular denominations. Now, he grew up in this. He knows all about this. And his father is an elder in the Church of Christ. And he began to believe in some of the things, and then later, it didn't work out for him. Okay? Rarely these activities are these activities tested against the authority of Scripture. Do-gooderism. Okay? Rarely, yes. Next, the central purpose served by the church experience is personal development, self-help, a la Joel Osteen. Okay? Most who attend church do so in a pursuit of an idea, a technique, an inspiration, a new acquaintance, anything that can make them a better person or enhance the quality of their life. Unfortunately, the poorly developed definitions of better person and quality of life are established by the entertainment media and the opinion of their immediate social circle. Again, Scripture is not the standard. Third, mainline Christianity has been reduced to a lawless interpretation of the writings of Paul, just as Peter warned in 2 Peter 3. One obvious consequence of this theology is a churchgoer who has no awareness of the promises of God, no awareness of prophecies yet to be fulfilled. In many Sunday-keeping circles, the book of Revelation is taboo. And that's why we have so many people asking for the Daniel Revelation series, see? Because the truth is, that's one division of the Bible in its original order. And you have to have a good understanding of all the other six divisions before you come to Revelation. And Revelation, when you read it, encompasses today's modern worldwide events, the whole world, all nations, people, language, nations, tongues, and so forth, you see. So no wonder it's hard for them to understand. And besides, when you bring those things up, it creates a controversy in the church, and they don't want to have anything rocking the boat. Now, this is also true in churches of God. And as I mentioned up north, there are changes coming down in the different churches of God right now. So be prepared. If the church of God you attend is just a social club, watch out. The doctrinal shift is coming. Okay. It is considered to be a source of argument and contention. Since it cannot really be understood, the benefits of open debate are not worth the consequences of disrupting the fellowship. Of course, without God's holy days, they have no framework upon which to study and understand God's promises, and all discussions are reduced to the realm of opinion. And of course, that's also fostered by the media. All you have to do is watch the news, and you're getting a lot of opinion. Now, we get the San Jose Mercury News, which through the years has shrunk and shrunk and shrunk and shrunk, and it's all Dolores can do to carry the 10 pages of the paper up the steps in the morning anymore. And she reads it, then she asks me, do you want to read it? And I said, no. I always tell her no, because I get my news from the Internet, and I get things that people don't even know anything about. So what this does, it makes them prime for the ultimate deception, especially if economic hardship relief is offered by a system that carries the banner of the cross. So if you have all religions together, and by the way, go on Church at Home and see what Randy has done with all the insignias of the different religions. He's got a globe, and then he has coming out like brass all around the different logos for all the all of the religions. Very good. So he said, he has tested this many times. I have one good friend, he said, who truly believes that the Ten Commandments are important and that she and her family obey the Ten Commandments. Now, a lot of people think that, you know. I think God did well. Judge Roy Moore, who put the Ten Commandments in his courtroom, okay, and he's a staunch Protestant, and finally had it removed by order of the U.S. District Court. Everyone was all upset about it. But the truth is, I think God sent those people to get rid of it because they have steadfastly refused to keep the Sabbath. Now, that's why in the Faithful Version we have an appendix that covers Rome's challenge to the Protestants. And 1893 was a tremendous year of witness to all the Protestants, because the Protestants wanted to close down the World Fair. And the Seventh-day Adventists came along and said, Sunday is not the Sabbath and you can't close it down. And they won their case. So Cardinal Gibbon, of the Cardinal of Baltimore, wrote four parts to an article, Rome's Challenge to the Protestants. And it was published every Sabbath for the four parts. So we have it right here in the Bible. You go back and read it. And you read how that in 1893, all of the Protestants were warned by the Catholic Church that if you don't keep the Sabbath and if you claim sola scriptura, that you keep the whole Bible and nothing but the Bible, and you keep Sunday, which is a Catholic institution, you are like committing suicide. And you are bringing upon yourself a death sentence. All right? In the same year, 1893, was the first Parliament of World Religions in Chicago. And that's the basis for the movement of bringing all religions together today. So we are what? Almost 120 years removed from that? Yes, indeed. Where are they on it? Well, you go on Church at Home, you find out where they are, and the sermons that I did here too. Now then, in his discussion, here's what he did. When we talked about the fourth commandment, she immediately went into a poorly formulated emotional defense of Sunday based on a lawless interpretation of the writings of Paul. I have engaged in similar discussions with no fewer than 20 people in the Oklahoma City area, pew sitters, to preachers, to elders, to professors of Old Testament law at Sunday Keeping Christian University. So it's ingrained. It's also easy to demonstrate the primary focus and important place on the fostering and development of a loving, caring, service-oriented community church members, a.k.a. believers. See, because Protestants want people churched. And if they accept Jesus on their simple formula, Protestants believe that you have your sins forgiven, you are saved, you're right on your way to going to heaven. You have nothing else to do except be a good person. Of course, needless to say, of secondary importance is biblical truth. And biblical truth should be number two after God the Father and Jesus Christ. But they've already left off a relationship with God. So they have community. The activities that they have, going to rest homes, helping the poor, feeding the hungry, all of that sort of thing. Now, those things are okay to do. But unless they teach them correctly about God's way, and unless they teach them how not to be poor, but how to make something out of their lives according to the scriptures of God, then all of that do-goodism just as in and out, it's over and done when it's done. I mean, you see it every year, Thanksgiving, feeding the poor. And Doris told me one Thanksgiving when they were showing, he said, come here, Fred, I want to show you something. He said, look at how well-dressed these people are. Because they get down there and they get a free meal. And I know that Rush Limbaugh was talking about poor people, or was it Hannity? Forget which one. But anyway, poor people in America have an apartment or a house. They have access to public transit or they have a car. They have at least two televisions in their house. They have a refrigerator. They have a stove. They have other appliances. Now, if you want to compare that to poor people, say, in Africa, then they're rich by comparison. So it's all relative. And then we've created such an upside-down government that people are paid not to work. And whenever there's a downturn, the latest thing that the administration wants to do is extend unemployment benefits. Well, it's already 84 months. So you add on another 12 months of unemployment. What do you have? 8 years of unemployment, huh? So people don't have to work. Okay. Now continuing here. All one has to do is ask the local pastor why we engage in a church-sponsored community Easter egg hunt on the Saturday before Easter Sunday, which we have asked of more than one pastor. What we have found is an uneasy admission that the Easter activities are not biblical, but it serves the purpose of building a strong, integrated community while praising the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Any question of truth that threatens unity and fellowship is activity is quickly quieted and squelched. I stand duly corrected, not months, weeks. Okay? But even at that, you know, that's a lot. Now, why is that? Why are we in such a predicament? All right. Remember the scripture that says, Satan the devil is deceiving the whole world. Now, what happens when you believe the lies? What happens when you believe the lies? All right, as I mentioned last time, there's a division between truth and deception. Let's come to 2 Thessalonians. Let's show you how important truth is, biblical truth. Now, here it's talking about the man of sin, the son of perdition, who's the Antichrist, who is going to go to a temple of God in Jerusalem, which is yet to be built, and he's going to set himself up as God and say that he is God. Now, think of all the false alarms about there's supposed to be a rapture and Jesus is supposed to return, and how people then will not believe that Christ is really coming from heaven. And when they see this beast, who is an overwhelming, charismatic person, and goes into the temple of God and declares himself God, and is greater than anything that is an object of worship as well. All right, let's pick it up right here. Verse 8. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. So this is just right before the end. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan. Satan possessed. And this will be Satan's greatest hour. Now notice, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and remember the false prophet is with him too. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing. Now, unrighteousness can sound really good. Sounded good to Adam and Eve. Sounds good to people who want to commit things and lie and cheat and steal. To those who are perishing, we'll see why they're perishing and what happens. Now, notice the reason. Notice how important the truth is. Because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. Now, when that happens, like I said last time, there is a dividing line between truth and deception. Now, because of that, we need to be very diligent about our personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, with prayer every day, study every day, so that we are armed with the Spirit and the Word of God. Because remember, Jesus said they're going to perform signs and wonders to even deceive the elect. So we need to really understand when the Bible says something like that, It means exactly that. Now, here's what happens. God does something. Remember, people ask, what happened to the Russians and the Chinese and the Germans? And every time there is a dictatorship that comes in and sweeps people off their feet and brings in all kinds of good things. When Hitler started, he ended unemployment overnight. Put everybody back to work. Oh, this is great. Oh, this is marvelous. People had food. They were starving. They had a stable mark. The other one, they needed wheelbarrows full of those worthless marks to get off work at 10, 2, and 4 and run down and buy bread at the bakery before the price went up again. So he was a miracle worker. German people just went absolutely in total worship for him. And little did they know. The satanic occult power behind him, behind Stalin, behind Mao Zedong, behind, you know, the forces in Vietnam. And when that happens, and people believe a lie, and for this cause, now you can key that to Romans, the first chapter, because it says there four times that for this cause God gave them over. And it has to do with your personal behavior, whether it is sinful or not. And the more into degrading sins that people go, the more that God turns them over to their very worst and Satan the devil. For this cause, God will send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie. And the lie is what? That the Messiah is a physical human being on the earth. That's why Jesus said, when people say to you, oh, the Christ is over here, said, don't go. He's in a desert, don't go. He's in a secret chamber, don't believe it. Because he is coming in power and glory from heaven. Now here's another reason to this, verse 12. So that all may be judged who did not believe the truth. Like these people here that I read of. They intend to do good, but they have reduced Christianity down to community service. And that's the whole basis for organizing a one world religion of unity through diversity. We will accept your religion and your beliefs for you. You accept our religion and our beliefs for us. And we'll all work together and we will be one happy family. Did not believe the truth of God, but took pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay. Let's come back here to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. And again, we're going to see the power of Satan behind it. See? Again, we are going to see that he comes along and he blinds. And as we're turning to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, the eye is the light of the body. And if the light that is in you is darkness, and darkness comes from Satan the devil, how great is that darkness? Now, Paul had to defend himself here so many times. So here in chapter 4, he did. We covered some of this last time, but let's go ahead and read it again so that we understand the power of what is happening. And think about it. Everywhere you go, everything you see, every magazine, every newspaper, the majority of them are all designed along with the politics, along with the education, along with the medical system, most of the medical system, along with all of the things that are in the world to keep you locked into the way of the world. That includes all the entertainment, all the music. Why do they have to have music everywhere you go shopping? Because they want to keep you spending money and keep you in a deceived system. They want to keep you busy, 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 busy. Now they've got the ideal tool, the smartphone. And if you lose your smartphone, you're instantly stupid. Because you have all your information on there. Oh, a phone number. I remember asking someone for a phone number. I said, just a minute. Here it is. I said, well, what would happen if you lost it? He said, I don't know. I said, well, you know, might be good to memorize some phone numbers just in case. Okay. A couple comments concerning cell phones and texting. One man said if he lost his phone, he'd have to take a cab home because he couldn't remember the number to call home. So, you know. And then especially the young people. So many people are hooked on texting and everything like this that you see them every spare minute. Ooh, they got it right here. They're doing this. And you see a couple of girls or a couple of boys walking side by side, and they each have their cell phone on, and they're all looking as to what it is, you know. And they think, this is so great, this is so cool, you know, and all of this. But what it's doing, it's sucking them right into the whole system to become part and parcel of the whole system. I think even some parents are rebelling and saying, no more cell phones for my kids. Well, that might not be a bad idea.